Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I want to know where they came from.
Probably from some second-rate evil empire.
Sprocket, you can come with me. We shall see what we can learn about our new friend.
Right, Dad.
It's time for a gold rush.
From the Command Center, Episode 6.
Welcome to a collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, Episode 6. I'm your host, Scotty Cash, and joining me from the GCRN is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
I'm tired.
Oh, yeah? You're tired of Zio Rangers, or you're tired...
No, I'm just tired of moving. This is the last time I'm moving. They're gonna have to like forcibly evict me with police and SWAT out of this apartment. I am not moving ever again.
Are you ready to? You're kind of like at the beginning of the Zio episode where your old apartment got destroyed and you have to move into a new cooler Zio apartment.
Right, there you go.
And you're like, I didn't even know this apartment existed right above my other apartment.
The funny thing is, and we'll get to this later. As I was watching through the Zio season, for some strange reason, I never cared for the regular Zio Zords.
They were kind of lame.
They are upgraded Thunder Zords. I mean, they're different versions of the Thunder Zord.
Sorry.
Beep. But when I saw the Super Zio Zords, I was like super excited because I like them.
They're way better.
Yeah. So we'll get to that a little bit later. So what have you been up to?
Not much. Actually, the World Series is on right now, so I am going to be checking my my phone and also recording the podcast.
I know the Red Sox aren't in it, so I just don't care. Once my team is out, I don't give a crap. But who is playing in the World Series this year?
The St. Louis Cardinals, which are my team, and they are hosting right now the Texas Rangers.
Oh.
And I don't hate the Texas Rangers, but I'm obviously going to go for my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Well, you know, it was the team that Ozzy built.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so let's see. What else have I been up to?
What about Batman? You play Batman?
Arkham City, no.
Oh, that's right. You don't play much video games, do you?
I do, but... I want to get into it, but number one, it's not cost-effective for me at this point in time.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm mostly into retro games, and if I do any real gaming, I do it on my PC, and the PC version of Arkham City does not come out until next month.
It's definitely a must-have.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing about both. I haven't played either one of the games, but I've been...
Go ahead and mute my phone.
Wow. All right, then. It's the It Figures Power Rangers version.
That's not It Figures. That was just a sad noise. I do have... when will this go up? This will go up tomorrow?
Probably.
Okay, I got some information for some of the fans.
Okay.
If they're Arkham City fans.
Uh-huh.
They might not know this.
Uh-huh.
Right now, if you go get a NOS energy drink, that's NOS, they have reward points. If you go online to drinknos.com and enter those, you got to register, obviously, and put the reward point in. You can then redeem your point for a Batman Beyond skin.
Oh, sweet.
Yep. So you're pretty much paying $2 for a Batman Beyond skin. And the only the only way that you could have got the Batman Beyond skin was pre-order the game in the UK.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I knew that they were going to do something like that for here, that they were going to have some sort of, you know, sponsorship deal where you buy something, you enter a code, and you can get it. I mean, that's the same thing with all game companies, whether it's here in the US or over in the UK. You know, like the all these pre-orders, it makes me so mad.
Right.
I know it's a promotional thing for each store, but it makes no sense. Why are you going to buy 6 copies of the game to get 6 different exclusives? That's overkill.
Yeah, they're going to release the characters, like the Robin. I got mine from Best Buy, and I got like Robin. And I think Robin will actually go live on the Xbox and the PlayStation Network on like late November or early December is what I've been told. So, you know, it's not like you have to buy 7 games to get all the characters, you know. They will eventually release the character skins for like $5 or $10.
Yeah. And but see, that's the thing that makes no sense. That's what doesn't make any sense to me, though, Scotty, because you have all these stores specifically for characters. War for Cybertron, specifically. I know a lot of people don't like Transformers, whatever. You know, GameStop had Shockwave. TRU had one character. Walmart had another character. And then, like, 6 months later, High Moon released a DLC pack that had all the damn characters.
Yeah. How much was it?
I don't even know.
Free. I doubt it.
It was free. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else have I been up to? Oh yeah. getting a lot of attention from one of your all's forum members over there, Count Marzo. I have no idea who he really is or if he's actually attached to PCN or I know he's over on your all's forums, but. We launched, which we won't actually be starting recording this until next year, but we recorded and released the episode 0 for our new Masters of the Universe podcast series called The Powers of Grayskull. Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson and I are going to be reviewing all 4, yes, even that crappy new adventures stuff, all 4 Masters of the Universe cartoons over the next couple of years. So we're going to go through each episode of that. So that should be fun. We just launched that. Let's see what else. You know, for those of you who haven't listened yet, go check out the Karen Ashley interview. That was pretty awesome. We talked to her.
She sent me a message on Facebook and said that she wanted to know if I was single. That she wanted to know if I'd marry her.
You're lying.
I did just make that up.
Yes.
I did just make that
up. It's not polite to lie to the listeners.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Zio, when did you like? Were you still into Power Rangers when Zio came on? Or
yep. I was kind of. This was my VHS days where, you know, I was at the age where I was kind of in and out of the house a lot. You know, sports, more girlfriend type stuff, and I was still recording Power Rangers, and I would watch it I would watch it, you know, when I had the time. But this was still like a, I'm almost positive that Zeo was still an everyday episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it would have had to have been, because there's 50 episodes.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, I was still, probably half the season I watched it when it came on, but for the second half, you know, I watched them in chunks, you know, 3 or 4 episodes at a time, because I would be recording them, like I said, on my VCR. Some people are probably like, what's a VCR? But
it's actually funny you mention that. Back in, was it 2000? Yeah, back in 2001, and this is completely unrelated to, it's more related to the VCR comment than Power Rangers, but back in 2001, I was up north in Massachusetts, and I was listening to the radio. It was one of those live rock concert that they broadcast through the radio things, and I recorded it because it was the band Live. And I found that cassette tape the other day. I'm like, I'm going to take this to the little video editing store and see if they can convert it to digital, because I'd love to hear it again.
Could they?
Probably. I don't know. They can do a lot with technology these days.
Okay. You haven't taken it yet?
No.
I gotcha.
No, not yet. Not yet. But yeah, Zeo, I remember seeing here and there. I remember... honestly, what I remember more than anything else in this one is the return of Lord Zedd and Rita and the return of Jason. Oh, yeah. Wait, did I just spoil it for everybody? It's so blatantly obvious that that's Jason even before. I mean, when they're running, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
And Tommy and Jason David Frank is, you know...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
As Tommy has these lines of, you okay, bro? You know, just basically not even saying, but you look at that person.
Yeah, it's him.
Scenes, and you know that's Austin St. John. You know that's Jason.
Well, let's get started. Let's not ruin it yet. Let's get started.
All right. Let's see here. As far as the characters this time around, obviously Tommy is back. Adam is back. Rocky's back. Tanya. Kat is back, and then we have Trey of Treyforia, and of course Jason comes back as well.
And Billy.
Well, yeah, Billy. Yeah, I always forget about Billy because he's more so like the human version of Alpha.
Yeah, he's Billy 5.
The one thing I loved about the Billy line, the Billy storyline in this. Is when he turned old. I thought that was great.
Yeah. You talk about... I don't even know. We'll talk about it when we get there.
All right. So, out of the... how do we feel about the transition from the... technically from Mighty Morphin to Zeo? I mean, what do you think of the powers and the suits and all that stuff?
I still felt it was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I loved every bit of it, you know, and it was good to have, you know, a new ranger that they kind of had to build to, and you know, I thought I had a good transition. It was kind of quick, but that's how all the Mighty Morphins were, you know, with their new Zords.
Yeah.
There was a couple of silly parts where it's like, you know, I had no idea that we had this whole another command center down here, you know, through this giant gooey portal thingy.
It's the secret of the ooze.
Exactly. It's the secret of something. But, yeah, I liked it.
But so far, watching all these episodes, the one thing I'm all for special effects, but the one thing I cannot stand is when they twist their wrist and their symbol energizes on their hand, it reminds me of those stamps that you get when you leave a park. I'm like, why does the energy show on their hands? That makes no sense. Because it shows the shape of each ranger's energy. It shows the shape of their...
Right, like a star. Elements. Yeah.
Yeah, the star, the two lines, the one line, the triangle, or the triforce, or whatever.
Can I?
I just didn't like that special effect.
I just want to say that you hate the weirdest things. It's like you find something and you're just like, look, that's really not that bad, but you know what? I hate that.
It's kind of like when you watch, because for me, most of the time when I'm watching these series, I watch them within like a 2 or 3 day span mm-hmm. all the way through.
Right.
So seeing 40 episodes of wrist turning and energy flaring, yeah, that is a little nitpicky. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, same thing with the intro. I got sick of the intro after like the 20th episode, and I just started fast forwarding through the intro to get to the actual episode.
That's funny.
Do you have besides Tommy, because we both can agree Tommy is the best so far out of all of them, out of all the other Rangers, do you have a favorite?
I'd definitely say Jason. If we're not going to count Jason, then I was always a fan of Rocky. I even liked Rocky when it was Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, Rocky's pretty cool. Of course, he gets a swift kick in the ass next season. But anyway.
Yeah.
Or I should say a swift kick in the leg.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, I'm just wondering what that contract negotiation was like. Because I know, I've heard, I don't know if it's rumors or if it's truth, I think I've heard Austin St. John basically say he left, one of the reason why he left the show was because he was having, his mother was ill.
Right.
I believe that's what it was. I could be wrong. But I'm just wondering what it was, like, you know, how that conversation went of how they asked him to come back. And I'm glad that he came back because it was nice to see him again.
Well, I mean, I've also heard that, because it's kind of funny that one guy's mom gets sick and three people leave. What I think, you know, and I don't know for sure, but I'm sure there was a contract dispute. It's like, look,
yeah,
this show is ginormous, and you guys are making trillion dollars. I want some more money, and they were probably like, no. So they're like, all right, well, then we quit. And they got home, and they went, oh crap, what do we do? Because now they're sitting at home. So they probably did another season, and they were like, what do you think now? And he's like, yeah, I'll come back.
I think, well, the only one I can really speak for that I know what happened, because I saw an interview with him from our girl over at No Pink Spandex, Lisa. She interviewed David Yost.
Billy.
And he, huh?
His name is Billy.
David Yost.
Well, a lot of people don't know David Yost. They know Billy.
Right. Well, she interviewed Billy, and he left for personal reasons because the crew was mocking him because he's gay.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not. You know, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, that is. I mean, you know, that's. But I mean, I understand why he would want to leave. I mean, you know, it's the same thing if you're getting bullied in high school. Obviously, you want to get away from the bully. Well, no, I think it was great having Jason back, and I liked how I think it was in the first episode he was in, or the second episode, I forget. I think it was like when he first came back at the end of the episode, he's like, Tommy, dude, I don't want to take away what you've built, and I'm just here to help out. He was like, because the first thing you think of when the original leader comes back is, oh, they're just going to take up their position again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just kind of made me laugh that he said that, I'm not here to change, you know, put things back the way they were and blah, 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 blah. And honestly, you know, Jason is great. Jason is awesome as a Ranger and as a leader. But Tommy so stepped into that role, and he did it very well.
It's easy to be a leader, too, when you're a fan favorite. You know, no matter, you could be terrible and still be great because no one knows any better. But, yeah, Jason was like, hey, I just wanted to say, you know, when I left the Rangers, I left the Rangers in great hands, you as their leader, and I'm not here to take that back. And he's like, no, you know, there is no leader in the Rangers. We're a team. We work as a team. So it was like, kind of like, let's get this out of the way. You know what I mean? And I don't doubt for a second that had something to do with Jason David Frank and what's Jason's real name?
Austin St. John.
And Austin St. John. I don't doubt for a second that they didn't have something to do with that script part.
It could have been. I mean,
why would Saban care? Like, you think little kids are actually going, wonder who's going to be the leader. You know what I mean? It kind of felt like throughout the season, and I don't know how it was in Japan, but it kind of felt like Jason was always left out. You know, because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of times where, and it's, and you could tell that they used a lot of the same scenes for Pyramidus and for the Zeo Rangers, or for the Zeo Zords. Like, they'd be like, look, it's morphin' time, and the guy would get big, and Jason would go, look, I'll stay here on the ground, you guys go fight them. So Jason would be fighting the cogs or whatever they are, and they would be off fighting the big guy until they needed Pyramidus.
See, that's the thing. I don't think that they had, I don't know. I don't know if they had enough footage of Pyramidus at, like, when Jason, when they first started showing that footage at the beginning, I don't know if they had enough, footage of Pyramidus at the time.
Right.
So that could be it as well. Plus, the plot of the story was, it's almost a reverse of Tommy's Green Ranger powers, where it's, instead of Tommy, it's Jason, where it almost felt like Jason wasn't supposed to use Pyramidus for fear of losing the Gold Ranger powers. And the one thing we are skipping over here a bit is how Jason even got the powers. Apparently this being...
Well, we're just talking about the Rangers now. Are we going to go into, the episodes, or...?
Yeah, no, yeah, we are. I'm jumping ahead, sorry.
You can go ahead.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But one of the other characters, the actual Gold Ranger, is Trey of Triforia, who is a trifold being. I don't understand why it took them, like, four episodes after he originally showed up, why it took them four episodes of him being silent and being like, screw you, Rangers, even though I helped you, I don't care about you, and just runs off.
Well, I don't think he ever said... screw you.
No, he never said that, but it's just the attitude that I saw, because it's like, he sits there and he'll help them kick the cogs' asses, but after that, after the battle, he just stands there all stoic, like, should I tell them who I am or not? Oh, no, let me run away.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did that for a few reasons. They did it, and I'm almost positive that it didn't happen like that on the Sentai episodes. They did it to build up to who is the Gold Ranger, because there was times where Billy would have to go do something, and the Gold Ranger would show up, and he would leave, and it was the whole Clark Kent Superman, you know, and you're like, oh, it's got to be Billy. Well, then Tommy's crazy Indian twin brother shows up, and he's gone too while the Gold Ranger's there, and then there's an episode or two where he's like, yeah, there's a lot of things you don't know about me yet, and you're like, oh, well... It's clearly him. And then there was even that one scene that was one of my favorites, when Bulk and Skull are like in the desert, and Bulk's looking for Skull, and he looks up and it's the Gold Zeo Ranger, and he's looking, and he wipes his eyes and he looks again and it's him, and he wipes his eyes again, and then it's like Skull walk walking towards him, and Bulk's like, where have you been? And he's just like, I just...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So I've just been right over there.
Yeah.
So...
too many red herrings this season. Too many.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
I liked it because, you know...
I liked it. It was cool, but we all know... We knew that there's no way it would have been Billy. I mean, maybe David Trueheart, Tommy's brother, maybe, but...
Well, I knew for a fact because it didn't sound like Billy.
Well, right, obviously. But, I mean... I just can't even believe that they would even say it would have been. It might have been Billy, because, as you just said, number one, it didn't sound like Billy, and number two, when Billy gave up his powers, he specifically said he can better help in the command center.
Yeah, but if there was nobody else to give the gold power to, why not take it? Why go get a brand new ranger when you can do it yourself?
Yeah, that's true.
And it also seemed like every time that Trey left, he went straight back to Pyramidus, like he was You know, like he didn't want anybody to get it, like it was some kind of certain power, and that's why it was even like had in like an invisible mode.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I kind of feel like he didn't stay around too long. See, I kind of liked how they did it because even though I knew who it was, I knew who it was going to be, I knew when they were going to do it, I still wanted more Gold Ranger as soon as he left. I was like, no, I love the song. The Gold Zeo outfit. It's got to be one of the best looking outfits out of any Ranger series.
Oh yeah, up to now, yes.
It's just absolutely.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But
this is what, I basically gave up on Samurai at this point. But this is what the Gold Ranger outfit in Samurai should have looked like.
Yeah. Samurai's only been going about 2 or 3 episodes, and they've actually started. Yeah, you might want to watch it this week and or last week and this coming week because it's part one and part two of the very beginning.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so you might want to watch it just because.
I'll have to hunt that down then. Yeah.
Yeah, Samurai's it's kind of getting boring.
Yeah. But getting back to the Gold Ranger outfit, I absolutely loved it. I love the helmet. The helmet is just awesome.
Yep. And for the people that. I know we've talked about this before, but the people that don't know, maybe they didn't listen to a past episode, they're the Zeos have numbers, 1 through 5, but then you got the Gold Zeo, which is also Ranger number 6. The Pink Ranger's number 1 because she has one solid circle on her helmet, her face. The Yellow is the second Ranger, and she has 2 stripes. 3 is the Blue Ranger, because he has a triangle, which has 3 corners. 4 is the Green Ranger, and he has a square with 4 sides, and then the star 5, and then this, you know, the Gold Ranger with the 6 points, like the staff.
I just now noticed that. That's so lame.
Oh, you just now noticed that?
I mean, I noticed it on Tommy before, but I never really noticed it on the others, because originally... You had said at the end of the last episode when we were talking about MMPR Season 3 or MMAR, whatever. They're all the same damn thing. Dang thing. You had mentioned that that the symbols on the helmets are also the symbols from the Zeo Crystal, which is true. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really put it together about, you know, the shapes and the numbers okay.
Yep. Yeah, you know what's funny is I didn't even realize that until I reviewed the Zeo action figures from the command center, and I was looking at it and I couldn't remember like what numbers went where. You know, and yeah. I was like, I know Tommy's Zeo number 5 and that's about all I know, and I started looking at him and I'm like, there's no way. And then sure enough, I go and I watch the intro, and that's what they are, and that's why it is what it is, because of their symbols on their helmets.
Yeah.
So.
So the other characters, the other allies, obviously Zordon and Alpha and Bulk and Skull, Billy, and of course... They introduced Detective or Lieutenant, then later Detective Stone, who is part of Bulk and Skull's wanting to join the police academy. Then they become detectives, and then they somehow get back on the force. That's a whole rigmarole. And then you have Auric the Conqueror, which I never really cared for that.
It's because he didn't. There was no story to him.
No, not at all.
And then he showed up like 2 times the entire season or something, or maybe 3.
Yeah. And we have a whole brand new set of villains, the Machine Empire. Why? I don't understand. Like, okay, I get that Zed is afraid of, like, Rita's dad, like Master Vile, because he's all powerful and everything else. Zed and Rita together are super powerful. How much more powerful is this Machine Empire that they run... screaming, forget Goldar and Rito, and just haul tail to her dad's place.
I don't know. They just had to build it up to make it look like that, you know. But
the point of this is we have to analyze it, and that's kind of what I do.
Right. Do you like them?
The Machine Empire, King Mondo. Yeah, I like them. I don't see them being any more. I don't see them being better villains, though, because it's the same bonehead maneuvers that Rita and Zed and their entire crew did.
Well, it seems like they led by numbers, because they would. I mean, when you've seen Lord Zed and Rita, there was about four or five of them, and they had a handful of putties. Every time it showed the king and the princes and the queen and the prince's wives and all of his little henchmen, and then you had all the cogs. It was just like there was so many constantly, and then they always showed that one scene where there was a giant cog army that was just like,
yeah.
Obviously, that's why they ran away, because there was like. There's just so many of them.
Well, see, the one thing I like about the Machine Empire, and something that they never did, that Rita and Zed never did, because I don't count the Tengas, because the Tengas are not jets. The one thing that the Machine Empire incorporated was the fighter jets, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was something new, and that was something different, the quadra fighters. But... the cogs are just metal putties. That's all they are.
Yep. Without the Z.
Without the Z. Thank God for that. Huge plot device in the center of your chest that doesn't work. But my favorite moments with the cogs is mainly when Bulk and Skull are oblivious to them and the cogs are like running back and forth behind them.
Yeah, that's funny. I love that. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the comedy aspects that they use the cogs with that I liked. As far as, you know, henchmen for the Rangers to fight, as I said a second ago, they're just metal putties. That's all they are.
Yep. But for whatever reason, they didn't really have a weakness. It was like they left, because there'd be scenes where the Power Rangers would kick the crap out of them and they'd be gone in no time. Then there would be scenes where they kept fighting and fighting and fighting and wearing the Rangers out. And they're like, man, we got to get rid of these guys. So it's like,
let's throw them in water. And there you go. Water destroys the cogs. But I thought that the I-beam maneuver that the cogs did, when I first saw that as, you know, even though I was like, you know, 16, 17, whatever, I still thought that was creepy as hell.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And I still do today.
I said, you definitely, it's creepy.
Yeah, that's a little nuts. And then, of course, as the season progresses, Zed and Rita and Finster and all them show back up. I know Rito and Goldar are basically Bulk and Skull, but they're villains. I really hated the plot line that they took them through. The amnesia thing, and then Bulk and Skull basically lording it over them and making them slaves and making them do the laundry and making them clean. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it was stupid.
We already have comedy relief in Bulk and Skull. We don't need more in Rio and Goldar.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
Yep. Alright, so let's, any other characters you want to bring up, or do we want to get into the weapons?
I guess that's it. Well, are we going to talk about Tommy's brother when it comes more time, or are we going to talk about it now?
Oh, we can talk about it now.
Yeah, Tommy's twin Indian brother.
Yeah.
What's his first name? Something Trueheart.
David Trueheart.
David Trueheart, yeah. He goes on a quest to find himself. And what was the Indian's name? Was something Trueheart too, wasn't it?
No, the Indian was something else. I forget what the old man Indian's name was at this point in time.
But anyway, he's like, hey, go find yourself in this desert. And he's like, hey, that guy looks like me. And then he finds him and it's like, yeah, I'm so-and-so. I'm your brother. So then Tommy has a twin brother that is actually an Indian that was adopted.
But see, the thing is that David Trueheart was actually portrayed by Eric Frank, who is Jason's real brother. The problem is they don't look alike. So how the hell can Tommy have a twin brother? I mean, unless they're like fraternal twins, I could get that. But if they're identical, because they don't really say which one they are.
Right.
They don't say if they're identical or fraternal.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Eternal. But it's like, they made it sound like they're supposed to be identical twins, and they look nothing alike.
Well, you can't say nothing, because if you put the same exact hairdo on the same size guy and pull it back the same way, they kind of resemble one another, you know what I mean? But definitely facial features, not so much.
Not so much, yeah. David Sherrard's okay. Honestly, he's probably a throwaway character.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Jason's real brother.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I think that part of it's cool, that it was, you know, Jason's real brother that portrayed him.
Jason David Frank's real brother.
Yes.
Right, not Jason the Red.
No, not Austin St. John's character.
Right,
no.
Right.
You know, I thought that was cool that they, you know, got the family involved as far as that goes. But, I mean, honestly, he showed up for what, two episodes?
Yeah, three or four episodes. And the thing I thought was extremely retarded was when he was all, like, deserty Indian, riding the horse guy. And then he was like, hey, look, I surf. Wait, what? You pick one now. You live in a teepee or you sleep on the beach. Which one is it, tough guy? I don't know. It was just a little much.
You've seen Wayne's World 2, correct?
Oh, yes.
When he was riding the horse and when he was walking around in the desert, I don't know why, but he reminded me of the naked Indian that was accompanying Jim Morrison in Wayne's World 2.
Yep. Yep, naked Indian guy in the dream. Gotta love that guy.
All right. Getting into the weapons. These Xeonizers, you have a couple of these replicas, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Shouldn't they have changed the catchphrase to "It's Zeo time"?
You see, no, I actually like "It's Morphin time," and I wish they would have kept it that way all the way through every single one of the seasons.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, like right now when it's like "Go Go Samurai" or whatever, I wish they would say "It's Morphin time."
Yeah.
And that's just me. I like the "It's Morphin time."
Yeah. But, I mean, I like "It's Morphin time," but you figure that even though for the majority this is the same cast that we've had throughout, well, at least through season two of MMPR, with the exception of Tanya, you know, we've had the same cast for the majority of it. You would think because it's new powers, it's new stuff, that they would change the catchphrase. I don't have a problem with them keeping it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think it would, you know, they would come up with something like "Xeonize us" or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was, we forgot to talk about the characters, but also the, what are the water people called? They come back too.
The water people. Oh, the
Aquitars.
The Aquitian Rangers. Yeah.
Even they said it. It's moving time. And it was all like underwater.
I hate that chick.
No, you love that chick.
I hate that chick.
Yeah, I forgot. I remember you had a "I love that Zeo Ranger chick" t-shirt that one time.
No.
Oh.
It might be different if there wasn't, like, effects behind her voice to make her sound like she came from a planet of water. Like, if it was the actress's actual voice,
right.
I might like it better. But because of the reverbs and the effects that they put behind the Aquitian Ranger's voices, I don't like any of the Aqua Rangers at all. I just don't.
I like them. And, what else was I was going to tell you something while we're on here. Oh, I wanted to tell you that remember when we got into our – no, I won't say argument, but remember when we got talking about if the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers were their own season?
Yeah.
Well, on Netflix, they sure do have them as their own season.
They do. I know. They do. But still, it's not like – I could – okay, here's the thing with this. If they had stopped MMPR where it was, if they had closed it off at season 3 and then just gave the Alien Rangers their own story, That to me would be considered its own season, because the Alien Rangers series is just 10 more Mighty Morphin episodes that tell a further story of the actual original Rangers. I don't consider it as its own season.
That's true.
That's just the way that I see it. The Zeo Blaster, it's basically the same type of thing. Zeo Blaster, Zeo Cannon, it's the same thing that we had. You know, Zeo Blaster is the same thing as the Power Blaster in Mighty Morphin. Zeo Cannon is the same thing as the Power Cannon. There's no real difference here. It's just a smaller weapon, a smaller device to destroy the small monster before it grows.
Yep.
I don't see anything different with it between either series. I don't dislike it, but it's like, wow, they couldn't think of a new weapon. They just redesigned the old one. I mean, that's like repainting 12 Optimus Primes.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, yes, it is. And what was the sword, the Zeo sword that they all got?
Oh, let me see. It doesn't say here.
They had the Zeo Blaster, the Zeo, Zeo Blade. It was the
The Zeo Blade. Yeah,
and it was like, it's like, look, we all have swords, and then Tommy's special weapon was a sword. So it's like, really?
Now I did like the effect that they used, the special effects that they used when Tommy did use his Zeo sword, because they used his star symbol.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like it wasn't 3D, but it was almost, it looked like it was a 3D effect, and I thought that was really cool.
Right.
But again, I mean, these mini weapons, and I'll say this for any Power Rangers series, the mini weapons, the guns, the blasters, the cannons, they really mean nothing to me, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just Ranger weapons.
When they first bring out their weapons, where it's like, you know, try your special weapons. They're neat. And then it's kind of like a new car. It's like, oh, you got this new car for like 2 weeks, and then you don't care anymore. Kind of like that. You watch two episodes where they have these special, cool, awesome weapons, and then they're just the regular old weapons that you don't really care about. except for the golden Zeo staff.
Oh, the golden power staff. Now that is an awesome weapon.
The thing was, that was awesome. That was definitely awesome.
Yes, yes, it was. That was so awesome. The Defender Wheel. I thought that was interesting. That basically the Red Phoenix Zord basically
extremely lame. Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, what I was going for there was a really
bad... It was a giant hamster wheel. Oh, I gotcha.
It's a giant hamster wheel. The Red Phoenix Zord basically poops it out.
Yep.
It's a giant turd wheel.
That's exactly what it is. Because I forgot all about that. And I was, you know, before I caught up to where you were, I said, hey, let me know when you find the Warrior Wheel, which is a Zord. We'll get to that in a second. And you're like, oh, yeah, Defender Wheel episode, you know, I think 7 or 8. And I was like, all right, cool. And I watched it. And I was like, wait, it's a little early for the Warrior Wheel. Why is it already on here? And then they were like, we need the Defender Wheel. And they did that. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. All it is running over somebody in a giant hamster wheel.
But see, that's the thing, though. It transforms into... Okay, never mind. See, I got the two confused. Because when you asked about the Warrior Wheel, I thought you meant the Defender Wheel.
No, the Warrior Wheel is a Zord.
Right, the warrior wheel was a Zord, that's right. I was like, what the? But the Warrior Wheel has the same almost effect.
When
it's in the wheel mode, the Warrior Wheel has the same effect and look as the Defender Wheel, and I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, wait, he transforms.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, I'm not arguing with you, but he also looks like a mini football player. Which we all know. Yes, we all know Scotty Cash loves football.
Loves that football.
And they use him like a bowling ball. So it's like, it's kind of like on my mind is going blank here. On Power Rangers, what is it? Wild
Wild Force?
Wild Force, where they kick the armadillo like a soccer ball.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so stupid and ridiculous. I love it. They pick up the Zord, and they're like, look, we need this Zord. And then they, like, aim it up. They bowl it at them, and then he pops open and just jumps on them like a big giant body splash, and they die. I mean, what more do you need? But anyway, yeah, back to the Defender wheel. I'm glad they only used it one time because that was extremely lame.
Yeah. As far as the Zeozords themselves, as I said before, they're basically a third upgraded version of the original Zords from Mighty Morphin. I mean, they're basically Thunder Zords 3.0. I don't really care for them. I don't even like the way that the Zeo Megazord looks. And sadly, I don't like the helmet option either.
Yeah. I do like the way that it looks when it's transformed. I don't mind that once it's together.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the helmets. I'm with you on that. But I would be irate if I got stuck. If Tommy got a Phoenix, and who was it? Adam got the Lion.
Yeah.
And the rest of you guys get like little Billy buildings with guns on it. That's your Zord. No, that's not my Zord. I don't want to be. First of all, I don't want to be a foot. Second of all, I don't want to be an armored building. That's not my Zord.
They did use animals still. I mean, they used the Phoenix. They used
a Lion.
Yeah. I don't get the Moai statue thing. I don't get that. I don't get the Dagu statue. You know, the Sphinx, the Bull, and the Phoenix. I get those, but Kat and Tanya have the worst Zords ever.
That's what I'm talking about. They're little miniature buildings. Those are not statues. Those are like little bitty buildings with guns on them.
And one of them, I think, is it Tanya's or is it Kat's? One of them, it looks like it, and I'm sorry to say this, and for those of you who don't want me to hear this, you better fast forward. One of them, it looks like it has tits on it.
Which one?
One of the statues. The kneecaps on the Megazord when it...
Oh, yeah, really yeah.
Formed. The kneecaps, it looks like it's tits.
Yeah. I'm about to look this up real quick.
God, too. Oh, good Lord.
Okay, I kept saying it's a lion, but it's not a lion. It's a...
Sphinx.
Okay, yeah, it's a Sphinx, but which is kind of like a lion.
Yeah.
But let's see what else we got here.
It's the Moai statue, the Dagu statue, the Sphinx, the Taurus, and the Phoenix.
Okay, so you got a bull.
Yeah.
You got Adam and the bull.
Yeah.
You got Rocky and the Sphinx/ lion. You got Tommy in the Phoenix, which is like, you know, a mystic bird that everybody uses as a great power. And then you got a machine with boobies and R2-D2 with a gun on top of his head that doesn't move.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the worst Zords ever.
Yeah.
But then they make it up by bringing out the Red Battle Zord.
Yeah, the Red Battle Zord.
Oh, it's amazing, dude. I love the Red Battle Zord just because he's so...
I forgot that the Red Battle Zord's head is basically Tommy's helmet.
Yep.
I forgot all about that.
And I liked it how it was kind of like the Real Steel movie. Like, Tommy is linked with the Red Battle Zord, and you know what I mean? It's like, and it just added to it. It's like, look, if your head's not clear, if you're not thinking straight, then you're not going to be able to control this thing. You know what I mean? And I kind of dug that.
What brought that down, though, is later in the season when they were, I think it was an episode where the monsters actually got a hold of the Zords.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which episode it was, but Billy in the command center is like, well, I can put the Red Battle Zord on, you know, I can pilot it by remote control. That takes away from the storyline you already started by saying that Tommy needed to be, you know, at his center. You know, he needed to find his chi or whatever the heck you want to call it. That, you know, having Billy operate it by remote, that makes, like, if they had said that in the beginning, fine. Mm-hmm. But that's a bad, bad story. I mean, that's almost like, you know, DC retconning their entire history.
Yeah, well, I probably wouldn't say that. It's that ridiculous, but, you know, it was one time, it was real quick, you know.
Right, but I mean, it makes no sense, though, to tell us one thing and then, you know, five episodes down the line, say something completely different.
Yeah. I agree.
And then you have the Zeo Mega Battlezord, which is basically the Red Battlezord and the Zeo Megazord combining. I like this. That's okay. It kind of reminds me of Dragonzord and Megazord, even though Dragonzord and Megazord were much cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of lame that how it forms, you know.
I mean, yeah.
I even thought it was kind of dumb when, like, Tommy's head wasn't clear enough to combine the two together, and they kept like bumping backs and like, no, we just can't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking
that's,
about?
That's going to come into play also next episode as well with the Turbo Zords, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. And Pyramidus. Pyramidus, I like it as a pyramid. As a Zord, it's just a giant Tor or a giant Titanus that really, it's a giant gun. That's all it is. Because in the transformation, they show Pyramidus rising up and transforming and everything else. It has its back open. And you see the Zeozords and the Super, or not the Super Zeozords, that comes later. You see the Zeozord and the Red Battlezord basically, you know, I guess, teleport into it. After the teleportation sequence or the teleportation effect, you then see the animal forms or the building forms of the Zeozords just sitting in there like it's a freaking docking bay.
Yeah, and I wish that what they would have done was make it to be like when they pull in there, they connect to the pyramid to give it more power. Because it is, it's kind of like, we'll come together except for you'll just sit inside of me and not do anything.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I do love Pyramidus though.
I mean, oh yeah, no, Pyramidus is by itself is awesome.
I loved everything about Pyramidus. I will say that. I love the actual toy too because it's huge. It's nice.
Yep. Yeah, it's awesome.
But
and then we have the Zeo Ultra Zord, which could be conformed in two ways, either carrier mode or warrior mode. In carrier mode, all six Zords stood on top of the elongated structure of Pyramidus. Wow, that sounds so wrong. In carrier mode, it was only used in the episode Rangers of Two Worlds Part 1, where the Zeo Rangers...
Let's say they only used it one time.
Yeah. Teamed up with the Alien Rangers, it moved much faster than the Warrior mode. Again, Pyramidus on its own is awesome. When you try to combine it with other stuff, it's just lame.
Yep. Yep, it's a waste of time.
Yep. So, without any wasting any more time, we get the actual really awesome Zords and these Super Zeo Zords.
You being sarcastic?
No, I'm genuine. I know I'm genuinely liking this.
Okay.
Because what's funny is when I think these came in when Trey left. It was like when Jason got the power transfer, and right before Trey left, he handed Jason this box.
Yep.
And I immediately remembered this. I didn't even have to wait for Zordon to say it. As soon as they opened the box, I knew it was the Super Zeo Gems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the hell I remembered that. It's been so long since I'd seen this series, but I immediately remembered what the heck it was, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yes, I definitely agree. You know what also I also liked, before we get too far ahead and then I forget about it, how all of the Zords were shot out of the cannon.
Yep.
Plus, they were also in, like, the giant docking bay themselves, like when it showed the Red Battle Zord.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I need the Red Battle Zord. It like showed him like in the giant warehouse before he got shot out of the cannon. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And as much as I really don't care for the Zeo Crystal symbols on the Rangers' helmets besides Tommy's or, you know, that kind of stuff, I don't mind them as Zords. They're awesome as Zords. They look great.
Yeah, they do. And They you know, when they form together, it's very colorful, yet very badass at the same time.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, though, is they stack it like Jenga, almost.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
Like it, if you pull the pink part out, the whole thing's going to fall down.
Yeah, that's a chance we're willing to take.
Why do I have to be the pink one? Sorry, that's a caption from an old image.
Yeah, at least they all get their own Zord this time, and they actually do cool stuff instead of being a building with boobies and R2 lame-o.
Yeah. I mean, the Super Zeo's Megazord and the Super Zeo Zords themselves are just awesome because, again, it's playing off of the powers that they already have. It's playing off of the symbols, the Zeo Crystal thing, so... Yeah, much, much better job. You want to talk about the Warrior Wheel?
Oh, yeah. The Warrior Wheel is a standalone Zord. Pyramidus goes down. And while Pyramidus is trying to get more power.
Right.
That's why they got the Super Zero Zords, is because Pyramidus went down. And because Trey got crashed. With yeah. Pyramidus into the water, and while he was getting his recharging it, they used the Super Zeo Zords. And the Super yeah. Zeo Zords saved the day. And then the next episode, they needed something else because Pyramidus was still gaining his powers. Well, Trey comes back and goes, "Oh yeah, here's this while you're waiting," and it's the Warrior Wheel. So yeah. Jason then controls the Warrior Wheel.
Yeah,
and all it is a standalone little bitty football player Zord. That you can't tell me that thing's not a football helmet on his head.
Oh no, it is.
It's a football helmet.
And it's a football helmet.
And
and those shoulder pads. Oh my god.
Yeah, for sure, shoulder pads. And then they pick him up and they throw him like a bowling ball.
Yep.
Can't beat that.
Nope. We've kind of already glossed over the identity of the Gold Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we didn't really mention with that is Brad Hawkins. Although never introduced in the show itself, Brad Hawkins had voiced the Gold Ranger early on, and after the cancellation of VR Troopers, it was said Saban wanted to utilize the actor in another role in the Power Rangers franchise, although it was very unlikely he'd have revised his role as Ryan Steele. He instead would have played an original character, possibly similar to Trey of Triforia. However, it was rumored scheduling conflicts kept the actor from being dedicated to the role as needing, thus the role fell to Ted, Tim, and Tom DeFlippo. I don't know if I would want to name a last name like DeFlippo. That's a little weird.
I know for sure that I would not want a last name like that.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
DeFlippo.
Overall, as far as the Zords go, the Super Zeo Zords are where it's at. They were awesome. Pyramidus by itself is awesome. The Warrior Wheel is awesome just because it's a giant football player. The rest is all meh.
The Red Battle Zord.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. The Red Battle Zord as well is okay. Is cool.
Yeah. Because he goes into like fighting mode. He's like, look, I'm like a ninja Zord, and he's just like kicking and punching and going crazy. And it's like, I don't know. We're used to like Zords kind of like. Just smashing into each other and making a clinking noise, you know. And
yeah, I read on the information here that it was modeled after a boxer, and the first thing I thought of when I read that was like, "Yo, Adrian!"
Yeah, exactly. I did it. But so, do we need to take a break before we continue?
Yes, we're going to hand it over to Spada, and he's going to give us a lesson about the Super Sentai O-Ranger, which this is based off of. So we'll be back after we hear from Spada the Bolt Matrix.
Hey gang, Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and today we are talking about O-Ranger. From March 1995 to February 1996, Chiriki Sentai O-Ranger was aired on Japanese TV. 600 million years ago, ancient mankind created the robot Bacchus Fundo. Like all robots, he turned upon humanity, but was defeated by the King Ranger and banished from Earth. He returned in 1999 as the ruler of the Baranoia Empire with the intention of wiping out all humanity. To combat this menace, the United Air Force Overtech Hardware Organization was formed. Its chief counselor, Naoyuki Miura, discovered and restored the ancient superpower of the long-lost Pangean race to create the O-Rangers and their weapons. The O-Ranger base was built in Japan's southern Alps, where remnants of the lost super civilization were found. Miura built a pyramid that generated tetrahedron energy. This energy was what was used to power not only the O-Rangers, their mecha, and their weapons. The Baronoia Empire was founded by Bacchus Fundo, and they have conquered entire galaxies before moving upon the Earth. They are a cruel race of machines and have near limitless armies and weapons at their disposal. Bacchus Fundo himself is extremely powerful and believes himself to be a god. His wife Hysteria is just as evil and powerful. However, by the end of the series, Hysteria changes her tune and realizes that life is too precious. She even goes as far as sacrificing herself so that her grandchild may live. Together, Bacchus and Hysteria have a son named Boldont. He is just as evil as his parents. The sixth ranger of the series is Riki, the King Ranger. He is the protector of Doran, a mysterious girl whose pet is an obviously fake green lizard named Paku. After chasing Bacchus Fundo away from the Earth 600 million years ago, Riki entered a suspended animation within the King Pyramider unit until Bacchus's return to Earth. The maker of the series is unique as that they are all based off of ancient constructs of mankind. O-Ranger Robo is formed from the five Choriki machines. Each of the mechs also have an individual helmet that O-Ranger may wear and use. The mechs are Sky Phoenix, who forms the head and has the wing helmet, Grand Taurus, who forms the middle module, or the crotch and upper leg area, and has the horn head, Dash Leon, who forms the arms and the upper torso, and he carries the Gravitron head, Dogulander forms the left foot mode and the Vulcan head, and Moa Rotor forms the right leg and has the cannon head. Later in the series, the Red Puncher is obtained and combines with the O-Ranger to become the Buster O-Ranger Robo. In episode 26, King Pyramider appears, and in episode 33, the Blocker robots appear. The Blockers are individual humanoid robots that are the second set of mecha created by the UAHO and combine to form O-Blocker. The series as a whole was not well received at all. It was originally intended as a 20th anniversary series for the whole of Super Sentai franchise, and many of the writers from the original series and older series came back to work on the show, with plans for a much darker themed show. However, due to the events that occurred in Japan and around the rest of the country at the time, the series was a little bit fickle in its tone. Mainly, it never knew what tone it had. Some of the issues that occurred in Japan at the time were like the sarin gas attacks in the Tokyo subway. The series had a lot of problems. Some of them stemmed from incredibly bad acting, side stories that went nowhere, bad editing, and even worse, like I said, much of the tone was completely off the wall. One point you would have a very funny episode, then a very dark episode, and then right back to funny. These are just some of the issues that made the series the least popular Super Sentai's ever. Now, some other episodes were good, and some things were well received, like the Rangers themselves were well received, and the mecha was well received, but the show as a whole was pretty much a disaster for Super Sentai at the time. In fact, this was a turning point where Bandai really had a last-ditch effort to make a good series, and that will we be talking next time with Car Ranger, which is regarded as the series that saved the Super Sentai franchise. This has been Spade of the Bolt Matrix, and now back to the command center.
Now, Jason, your friends could use your help.
Right. It's been a long time. Back to action!
Look, Mike, I just gotta say, all right? Look, I like you, all right? Obviously, I don't mind myself, but I gotta say that the Spada segment is probably my favorite part.
Yeah, he does an amazing job, and he loves Power Rangers. That's one of the reasons why, you know, we had that. It's actually one of the reasons it was good that you went to SDCC, so the three of us could get together and have that discussion that we had when you came back off of SDCC. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll have him on in the future, but it's probably going to be like another one of those special episodes. We may actually have him on like a final episode, even though this show probably won't end depending on if Power Rangers seasons keep getting released. But let's be honest, by the time we get to Samurai, it's going to be a while, folks. So this show's going to be around for a while. And we can do, you know, little special episodes here and there with Spada. But the main point of the show is you and I doing it for the most part.
Right. But Spada saves people a lot of time. So, you know, I'm probably still going to go back, you know, after Spada, we watch.
Spada spends, I think, like 5 hours doing research just for a 5-minute clip.
Yeah.
No, Spade is awesome. He does great, great work, and we very much appreciate it. Without him, we would still be ignorant jackasses about the Sentai stuff.
I agree.
So, yeah, do you have any favorite episodes from Zio?
Ooh, you know what? I didn't even... Definitely the gold episodes.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I need to look through the episodes real quick. Obviously, I just watched them all, and I'm sure I have a favorite. But the gold episodes are good.
Yeah. I liked Invasion of the Ranger Snatchers. I thought that was kind of cool.
Which one was that?
Rocky is a starstruck when he, Catherine, and Tanya become extras in a sci-fi film.
Yeah, definitely.
The Graduation Blues, where Billy finally graduates high school. He's not. He's graduating early. And then he goes off to Aquitar, like that one. I like Instruments of Destruction, which is the one where the guidance counselor wants Adam and Skull to broaden their studies. And the first thing I thought of when I saw that episode was a song from Transformers the movie called Instruments of Destruction, when Megatron boards the ship and destroys all the Autobots.
Oh, yeah. I hate that part.
I love that song, though. That song
Awesome. Song's wonderful, no doubt about that. But anyway, I'm looking here. The puppet blaster was good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Invasion of the Ranger Snatchers, that was good. Let's see here. There's no business like... Nah, I didn't really like those.
No. I like the fact that they brought in that chick for Tommy, but... Those episodes did not need to be three parts.
All right, I found Sam Trueheart was the guy's name.
Sam Trueheart.
Yeah, Sam Trueheart was the guy's name because Tommy's brother was.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah.
why his last name was Trueheart.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, those I didn't really care for those episodes. They really started getting good with A Gold Homecoming, Mondo's Last Stand, Bomber in the Summer. Like, episodes 40 on were just really, really good. The Ranger Who Came in from the Gold. That was awesome. What about, which episode was that where the guys come out on their bikes and they're all mean and they're like, look, you're not a, oh yeah, it's here. It's Bomber in the Summer. When Jason meets his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Where poor Ernie's trying to make that beach house and they're like, this is our beach, we drive on this beach, you're not coming
here. Oh yeah, I hated that episode.
And they're like, oh, all right. And then later on they're like, well, why not? We're gonna go ahead and stay here. Oh, okay. And here's my girlfriend. She can work here.
Yeah.
Looks out, it's funny how all that works out.
In the last episode, Good as Gold, like, I was, from Mighty Morphin to Zio, you have the command center getting blown up, and in a Zio Beginning two-parter, you have them finding the new command center, you have them getting the Zio crystal back together, you have them getting their new suits, their new powers, everything else. In Good as Gold, it's basically a happy ending. There's no real cliffhanger. It's, you know, Trey comes back. He takes his powers back. Jason is alive. Because the whole point of the episode is the Gold Ranger powers are taxing on Jason's, you know, body. It's not, he can't handle the power anymore.
Yeah, he's losing his power and his life.
Yes. So Trey comes back. They find a way to reunite Trey into one person. And then, you know, he comes back, takes the power back. And then, of course, the Rangers go off on their own and Jason goes off with Emily. And that's really how this series ends. And I like that they ended it on a good note. I mean, there is that hint that Zed and Rita would be back, but not anytime soon.
Yeah. Looking at the dates here, it looks like it goes Hawaii Zio, A Season to Remember, and Good as Gold. But in fact, A Season to Remember is their Christmas episode, was actually played after the last episode that aired.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some shows I don't like Christmas episodes on, and this was probably one of them.
I love the goofy ass episodes.
I don't mind a goofy ass episode, but I'm sorry. Ugh.
And we also need to, let's see here. Let me see where it is. It's probably about episode 35-ish, mm-hmm. where Billy's kind of getting burnt out at the command center, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to go to Aquitar for a while, and I'll be back. And that is, in fact, when Billy up and walked off the set.
Yeah,
due
that's
to,
when David left,
jerk,
yeah.
Yeah, jerk harassing, you know, people harassing him about his sexuality. And it's not even like they were like, hey, you're gay, ha, ha, ha. It was like they were, like, attacking him using bad words, you know, that...
Yeah, he said in the interview, and again, because this is technically Billy's last season, I will post the links in the show notes for Lisa J's interview with Billy, with David Yost. I'll find the video links again, and I'll post them again so people can watch this video. But basically, David Yost, who played Billy, basically left the show because crew members and other people on staff were calling him a faggot.
Yeah, it wasn't so much crew members as the directors and stuff were treating him like crap.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like Jason, David, and Frank or none of those people.
Oh, no. Not cast members, like crew members, like directors and producers and stuff. That's what I meant when I said crew members, like the directors and producers and stuff like that, which that should not happen.
Right. Yeah, I don't really care if you're gay or you're not gay. It doesn't bother me. But if somebody was talking to me like that, I would do a lot worse than just walk off the set. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's got I got a lot of respect for him for just getting mad and up and leaving. And I mean, I don't want to ruin the interview for anybody, but that actually sent him in a down spiral where he didn't know what he wanted to do with his life. You know, he was talking about maybe taking his life a few times.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, these jerks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But, you know, he went on to have a successful behind-the-camera career. You know, he still recognizes the Power Rangers fans. Last year when Lisa did her No Pink Spandex Live event in New York City, he was the special guest last year at the first ever No Pink Spandex Live. They actually announced, I would love to go this year. Or not this year, next year in 2012. I would love to go to New York, to go to No Pink Spandex Live, because Jason David Frank is the special guest for No Pink Spandex Live 2012. The convention that Lisa's putting on every year now. He is the special guest next year, and I would love to go.
That'd be awesome.
That would be so awesome to meet him. So awesome. Anything else about the episodes?
No, that I can remember. Ended on a good note, like you said. Yep. Kind of ended like maybe Saban was going to go ahead and just end all of those guys' careers and start fresh with Turbo. But the fans were like, no, you know, we'll freak out if we don't get Tommy and the rest of the guys. So it's like they brought them back for that movie. And then eventually...
The first season of Turbo.
Got rid of them all.
It was one season. It was one season, but it was like it was in two halves, though, because for the first half you have Tommy and all them there, and then Tommy and a couple of the other ones left, and then the new people came in.
Yep, I stopped watching it well before that. I haven't even seen. I've seen maybe four or five episodes of Turbo. That's it.
You already know what I'm going to tell you, right?
What? Go ahead.
for the most part, we have to watch every episode.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I look forward to watching it right now.
You know, I'm not going to be some episodes that you can skip, but I mean, you need to watch most of them to get the general gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't have a problem. I watched every single episode of Zio, and I've already seen every single episode of Zio. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, if it starts getting terrible, then I'm going to have to fast forward or something and wait for something cool to show up.
Let's talk about the music. The changeover from Mighty Morphin's theme music to the Zio. I mean, it's still the same guy, Ron Wasserman, doing it. But what did you think of the Zio theme?
Well, I love it. I use it on my
video series now.
My Front Command Center. I love that damn song. That song is actually on my MP3 player. So when I'm working out, that song pops up.
Awesome.
Yep, that is very pump you up song to me anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. And the music in this show in general, I honestly really didn't like a lot of the songs that they did. I think the only song I really, really liked was the Gold Ranger song.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
Yeah, the Gold Ranger song was great. The rest of the stuff that they used for music, either in the background or as actual fighting songs, it didn't have the same feel to me as, like, We Will Win or Fight or any of the MMPR songs. I don't know. I just couldn't get into the other songs for Zio.
Yeah, there was, I don't know, I didn't really notice anything. And I didn't really, you know, no song stuck out except for, like, Gold theme in the original theme, but there was no songs where I was like, oh, this is terrible. And there was also no songs where I was like, whoa, I like this. So it's kind of like right in the middle for me.
Yes.
But overall, I did in fact enjoy the season. I don't mind King Mondo and his, I didn't really like it when the main prince was trying to take over and him and the little prince were arguing. I could have done without that. I wish, Mondo would have just stayed.
I wanted to reach through my TV and strangle. I wanted to find a way to get to Hollywood and strangle those producers because they did the whole Tommy go evil thing again. Can we stop trying to make this guy evil for Christ's sake? Seriously?
Oh, yeah, they did. I remember that now.
Oh,
I liked how they had him on the in that little, I don't even know what you call it. What do you call it? Like a gladiator's chamber?
Yeah, the gladiator arena, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, you know, I love Tommy. He's a badass, but he's not going to be able to defeat all five of the other Rangers.
No.
So it's like, he's like, I'll take you all on. And I was like, come on now, dude. But I don't know.
You want to talk about some of the Zio toys for a bit?
I reviewed most of the, actually I've done the figures in the Zio and then Prime and Paramidus.
Yep.
But the Zio Rangers, the figures are actually kind of poopy because they all have action features, and I'm not really a action features kind of guy.
Ah.
They do have a couple of the Automorphers where you push their belt and their head flips. Yeah, they got
those
a couple
really cool
of those.
And Mighty Morphin.
Yeah. Well, they got a couple of those and the Zios, and those aren't too bad, but I just don't care for action features too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Zords are always good, especially up to Turbo. Even the Turbo actual toy Zords were good. I like even the toy Zords, but I just can't. I don't know if I can do the show. I can't wait for Turbo to be done and out of the way.
I don't want to give my thoughts about Turbo away because I have already started watching Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the movie so many times, I basically have it memorized. I haven't watched that. I just watched, right now I'm actually watching this series of Turbo. And yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
And the movie's different than Shift into Turbo 1, 2, and 3, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because the movie, they get their powers one way, and then in the TV show, they get their powers another way.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I know I've seen them.
No, this is different. They don't break continuity like Ninjor did, no. They count it.
Oh, do they?
Because I watched Shift into Turbo.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they start with
the because Rocky missed the adventure, yep. And Justin is wanting to tell him what happened.
Yep, you're right. I remember that because I've watched about 10 minutes of Shift into Turbo Part 1. That's about it. And I just couldn't remember that. I don't know why I even asked that.
That's
because
all right.
Because I remember because they start, he's like racing in one of the cars or something, right? Or he's in a NASCAR or something.
Yeah, Tommy's off doing NASCAR training with his uncle.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Or something or other. I don't know.
Yep. He's done a lot, dude. He's been evil and he's been good and he's been
a karate champion.
He's been a ninja guy. He's been a spirit guy. Finding your his brother's an Indian, and now he drives NASCARs.
The only thing the karate portion is missing is Mr. Miyagi. Sorry,
you know
that
how much
reference.
You know how much better that show would be.
I know.
side note, real quick. It's funny that you say that. I don't know if you ever go to woot.com.
No.
All right. Well, it's kind of like they have one. It's like shirt.woot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And today is actually they have a Daniel San shirt.
Oh my god.
And I went ahead and ordered it.
That's funny. That's awesome though. That's cool.
I'm gonna send it to you. I gotta find the link. I don't remember what it is.
All right. So we're gonna take a quick break. You're gonna hear some ads from both Geekcast Radio Network and Pop Culture Network, and we'll come back with the outro.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green team goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
You can now hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher, smart radio, the smart way to listen to radio.
This is Karen Ashley, and you're listening to From the Command Center.
So there you go, folks. That's it for Zio. I'm betting I don't know. I honestly don't know, because so far, I only have a couple. I've only gotten, like, I don't know, two or three episodes into Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
I only have a few complaints so far, like not so many. So I don't know. Our opinions might vastly differ next episode. I'm not sure.
Oh, good. So you hate how they turn the wrist and make into Zeronizers, but shifting into Turbo is awesome, huh?
Okay, well, I will say this. I hate all the hand signals. All
right.
I've never liked the whole move this, move that, move this, just to put a key into the other side of your wrist, or just to put, you know, your wrists together. You have to do this whole ninja move just to show. I've never, in any Power Ranger series, I've never liked it.
Right.
You know, just very simple. You know, it's morphin' time. They morph, and that's it. That's all it really needs to be. It doesn't need to be like, you know, this 20 choreographed step karate move.
Well, I mean, you got to do something, though, because if they didn't... Okay, all right, let's say this. Let's say they're just Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and they just go, it's Morphin time. Boom, they're the Rangers. They run up. They punch the putties in the Z. The bad guy gets big. They get big, too. They form the Ultra Megazord right out of the gate, kill it, and it's over. I mean, that's a four-minute Power Rangers episode.
I know. I know that they need something, you know, there for it, but I've never liked any of the hand movements to morph. I don't know. I just haven't.
No big deal.
Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, www.geekcastradio.com and www.popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. I actually don't think we have forums anymore. I don't remember. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Let me actually look really quickly. Which we have a new iTunes review. Basically, it is from Mr. Helnick. It is a 5-star review. Great podcast. I have been a Power Ranger / Sentai fan for many years. Listening to each show makes me go back and rewatch the topic seasons. Thanks and keep the show going. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. That was awesome.
Yes. Yes, it was. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and you can search out PopCultureNetwork.com on Facebook. You can find the award-winning video series From the Command Center where Scotty shows off his entire Power Rangers toy collection with a few Transformers mixed in at youtube.com/PopCultureNetwork. Call the voicemail lines. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821 for the GCRN, and for PCN, call 217-953-4025. If you want a Command Center podcast voicemail to be in the show, call the GCRN line because I have control over that. I don't know what Dirt does with the PCN voicemails. He probably has bath time with them.
Yep, it could be if he even has a bath time.
Let's not even go there. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
Yuck.
The lamest title ever.
Yep.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, and here's Bulk and Skull.
Comes to town, the Ranger can't back down. Why? Hey, Skull, what's that sound?
I think it's those gray guys behind you.
What gray guys? Hey, Skull.
Yeah, Bulgy.
They're coming toward us. We need the Power Rangers.
Let the power protect you.